Welcome to Come Follow Me on the Go. My name is Kylie, and this podcast is designed for families and children that are in the car and on the go. In each podcast episode, I will be sharing brief stories from the Come Follow Me lesson plans. I will also provide questions that families can pause the podcast and discuss and chat and grow closer together as a family unit and closer to Christ while they are in the car and on the go. Okay, welcome back to Come Follow Me on the Go. I'm going to try something new this week and add a little bit of transitional music after a story and after the questions. So there's a little bit more time for you guys to have the opportunity to pause it or to chat, and you'll be able to better know when it's time to pause it. So we'll try that out. You're welcome to give me feedback and see how it goes. But let's jump in. We are studying chapters 22 through 28 in the book of Acts. So we'll start in chapter 22 and move along through. In chapter 22, Paul is in Jerusalem and he gets arrested again. And he is given the opportunity to present his case to the people, the council before him. And he's standing on the stairs, and we are told that he waves the crowd to him so that they listen. And they all listen silently while he testifies of his conversion story and his experiences that he's had with Christ. So his road to Damascus, his vision of seeing Christ, his blinding, his healing. He gets to a point where he testifies of another vision he had of Christ. And then the crowd was done. They were we don't want to hear anymore. Or through listening, and they start to get really mad at him, and they start to take their cloaks off like they're going to beat him, and they're throwing dirt in the air. They're so mad. And the chief captain of in that area at the time commands that Paul gets taken into the castle so that he can be scourged. And that is when they stretch your limbs so that they can beat you and get you to tell the truth. It's just a way to torture you. So Paul, as they're preparing to scourge him, says to the centurion next to him, "Is it lawful for you to scourge a Roman who's been uncondemned?" And when the centurion heard this, he was like, "Wait, what? You're Roman? Shoot." So he runs and he tells the chief captain, and then the chief captain comes to Paul and he's like, "Are you really a Roman?" And Paul's like, "Yeah." And then they're all immediately stop what they're doing and just leave him. They don't scourge him. They don't beat him. They just depart from him for the night. And in the morning, the chief captain comes in and he looses the bands around him, and he calls for all the chief priests and the Jewish council to gather to hear Paul's argument, right? So they can officially condemn him or not, so they can decide if he's broken any Jewish laws. So Paul's in front of the council and he again tells them, "I have lived in good conscience before God. I have not broken any laws." And Ananias commands that Paul be hit on the mouth. And Paul was like, "Well, that was not lawful for you to do." And then everyone's getting all grumpy again, and Paul is able to determine that there are some Pharisees and some Sadducees in the crowd. So he calls on the Pharisees and he's like, "I'm one of you guys. I believe in the same teachings as you guys." So now the Pharisees and the Sadducees are kind of pitted against each other, and they start arguing. Some are defending Paul, some are against him, and it's getting to be such a fight and a brawl that the chief captain is fearful that Paul will be tore apart in the madness, that he will get pummeled and beat up and possibly die. So he now commands that his soldiers go and scoop Paul up and take him into the castle to protect him at this point. And he's safe now and in the castle. Now, this group of Jewish people that did not want Paul to be safe, they made a pact at night and they decided that none of them would eat or drink anything until Paul had died. Now, luckily, Paul's nephew heard this. He heard the plans and he heard the scheming, and he went to the castle And he told the centurion, like, I need to speak to Paul. And so he gets to tell Paul all of this, everything that's going on. And Paul's like, you've got to go tell the chief captain. He needs to hear this. So Paul's nephew then asks the guards, like, okay, I need to speak to your captain. They take him to the captain, and the captain is like, well, let's talk privately. So it's just the captain and the nephew. And the nephew tells the chief captain everything he's heard, so that these Jews are planning to kill Paul, and they're not going to eat or drink until they've done so. They're going to ask the chief captain in the morning to have another meeting, and it's then that they will seize Paul. So when the chief captain hears this, he tells his guards, go get 200 spearmen, actually, and 200 soldiers, 70 horsemen, get Paul a horse, and you guys are going to ride to Caesarea. And I want Paul to be with the governor Felix so that he's safe and he can have a trial there. So the chief captain also writes a letter explaining all of this so that when they arrive at Caesarea, the governor will understand what's going on and why they're there. So in the middle of the night, they sneak Paul out of Jerusalem with this army, taking him safely to Caesarea. So Paul's nephew had to have been nervous and fearful for his own life for trying to help out his uncle Paul. So just think about your own life right now. What are some things that maybe make you uncomfortable or fearful to do? Because we grow when we stretch ourselves beyond what we're comfortable in doing. So for me, for instance, I get so uncomfortable bearing my testimony, and I am terrified to do it, or even doing this podcast. So just chat as a family about what are little things that you are uncomfortable doing, and challenge yourself this week to do it, to step outside of your comfort zone and practice being courageous for yourself, for your own growth, but also how can you be courageous for Christ this week? So now Paul is with Felix, and Felix tells him, I will hear your case, but we're going to wait till your accusers get to Caesarea so that I could hear their side as well. So they go through the whole trial again. Paul defends himself, and Felix is like, I will make a decision on this case. But for now, he has his guards lock Paul up. He tells them, give him some freedom. Like, he doesn't have to be like in bounds and tied up. He has some liberties. Allow his friends to come meet his needs, and Felix will actually call on Paul every now and then to come and teach his wife things. And inwardly, Felix is actually hoping that Paul will offer him money, like bribe him, so that he will be free. But Paul obviously does not do this. Paul ends up staying captive with Felix for 2 years until Festus takes over for Felix. So Felix is released as the governor, and Festus takes over. And Felix, who wanted to like do a favor for the Jews that wanted Paul in prison, decided to just leave him in prison instead of release him when it came time to turn it over to Festus. Festus desiring for Paul to bribe him is a really good example of real life situations where we are presented with a harder right choice to make and an easier wrong choice to make. So Paul could have made the easier choice and paid Festus, or Felix, I'm sorry, to get out of prison earlier and quicker, but he chose to make the harder right choice of just like tough it out. He already knew Heavenly Father promised him that he would make it to Rome, so to just trust in Heavenly Father. So discuss with your family, like, has anybody been in that situation where they had to choose between making an easier wrong choice or a harder right choice, and which choice they made and what the outcomes were that came of it? So Festus is stuck trying to figure out what in the world he's going to do with this prisoner Paul. And the Jews want him to go back to Jerusalem to be tried again, and Paul's like, no, like, I've already done that, we're not doing that. And Festus won't send him back as well, so it's decided that he is actually gonna go to Rome to get his trial there and to be tried as a Roman citizen in those courts. So they load Paul up on a boat with a bunch of other prisoners, and they are going to sail to Rome. And the whole journey starts out with unfavorable winds. So the winds are not blowing in a way that they're sailing in a direct way, or they're being blown backwards. Like, they're just not able to meet their goals for like a timely travel, to where it's starting to get probably an unfavorable season to be traveling in, where the weather will just get worse. So we in chapter 27 actually learn that Paul warns them that they should winter where they're at. He tells them, "Men, I can see our voyage is going to be disastrous, and it's going to bring us great loss to the ship and to the cargo and to even our own lives." And the prisoners, like captain, whoever, the centurion over those guys, decided to listen to the like lead sailor over Paul and to sail on. And so they end up sailing like in a hurricane for days and days, like 14 days. They are just not even eating or sleeping, but just trying to survive this storm that is just beating the ship down. Eventually, they start throwing cargo over, and then another day they start sh throwing like the ship tackling overboard to like try and lighten the load. And then eventually Paul tells them, well, actually, some of the sailors started to like let down lifeboats, and they were gonna sail away and try to survive this hurricane. And Paul says, "Don't let them out of the boat. If anybody gets out, we'll all die. Like, we need to have faith. Heavenly Father will see us through. I'm supposed to get to Rome. We're all supposed to get there." So they stay in the boat, and they actually soon take soundings, which just means they throw like a weighted rope over, and when it hits the bottom of the ocean, they can measure the rope and they'll know how deep the ocean is. So they're starting to come to shore. They can tell that it's getting the sea is getting more and more shallow, but they can't really see where they're going because of the storm. So they're worried they're gonna crash into the rocks. And so the guard is like, "Whoever can swim, like jump out and swim to shore. And if you can't swim, then like get on these boards and hopefully you make it." So they let all the prisoners go for the time being to try to survive and get to shore. They end up all making it to shore. So Paul, the sailors, the prisoners, and all the guards make it to the shore of Melita. And the locals greet them super warmly. It's raining, it's cold, and the locals make them fires and are really gracious hosts to these shipwrecked men. And Paul is gathering up sticks, and he lays them on top of a fire to like stoke it and make it warmer for them. And a viper comes out of the sticks, which is a snake, a very poisonous snake, and it bites him, and it's hanging on his hand, and the locals see it, and because of their own superstitions, they think, "Oh, this is a bad guy. Like, vipers bite the evil people, right?" And Paul shakes the viper off of his hand, and it falls into the fire and dies. And Paul's just fine. Like, the locals are like, "Wait, why is his arm not swelling? Why is he not falling down dead?" But he was completely unharmed. Paul didn't even feel the bite. Like, he wasn't even in any pain. So then they're like, "Oh, this must be like a really good guy." So I found it really interesting to just kind of think about what can a snake represent in the scriptures, right? So we know that Lucifer was condemned to like be on his belly for the rest of his life, right? So a lot of times we associate snakes with the adversary. And Paul literally just got bit by a snake. And if we're saying it can represent the adversary, he just shook it off, like without any injury, just shook off that attack from the adversary. So I just thought it's interesting thing about what are the things you think Paul was doing in his life to be able to have that protection against the adversary, to be able to just like not even be affected by the adversary's attempt to hurt him. And what are we doing so that those attacks on us will not leave us with any kind of even notice or harm coming to us. So one of the chieftains of this village was named Publius, and he actually hosted them for 3 days. And his father was actually laying very sick, fevered, and Paul went to him, prayed, laid his hands on him, and was able to heal him. And then after these locals saw that Paul was able to heal him, a lot of other sick people in the village came, and Paul was able to heal them all. They ended up spending 3 months in this village, and then they set sail again for Rome. Paul finally makes it to Rome, and all of the prisoners are taken by the centurions to the captain, all of them but Paul. Paul is left alone with one soldier, and after 3 days, Paul calls the Jewish leaders to come and listen to him, and he tells them everything that's happened. Like, I've been bopped around, I've been imprisoned unlawfully and for no crimes, like I've committed no crimes. And these Jewish leaders tell him, like, we haven't received any letter from any of these other places, but we're happy to like hear you out, tell us what you want us to know. So Paul testifies that to them everything he's been telling everybody else, and some of these Jewish leaders believe him and some don't. And then with the Holy Ghost, Paul tells them, like, you guys have hard hearts and you have been blinded spiritually. I am going to continue teaching the Gentiles. And so Paul ends up renting a house in Rome for 2 years and teaches anybody and everybody that is willing to hear what he has to say. So he does 2 years of missionary work in Rome. Paul is such a wonderful example of how to be a missionary. It's not always just preaching, but sometimes it's doing service for those around you. And he never stopped doing it, regardless of if he was in danger for his life through mobs or through storms or whatever it is. He was always a missionary for Christ. And I love that wonderful example. And I hope that throughout this next week, we can all try to just be a missionary through service or through word in a small way this upcoming week. And that is all I have for you this week, you guys. I can't wait to study up and try to share some more stories for next week.